Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Institute for Personal Development, Kriya Yoga Ashram, where total consciousness is the new frontier.
Kriya Yoga is union of the individual with the divine. Join us as we explore the practices to initiate this process.
Good morning. Welcome to the Voice of Yoga. Let's Talk Consciousness. I am your hostess, Lisa Winton, and with me is Kenny Toy, also known as Swami Jayananda, founder of the Institute for Personal Development, located here in Hampton, New Hampshire. Good morning, Swami. Thank you for being here today. How are you?
Good morning. I'm doing pretty good today. How about you?
Well, I'm doing great today, too. Thanks for asking. And we'd like to thank you all for tuning in. Today on the Voice of Yoga, we will talk about the statement of Mary Baker Eddy in Miscellaneous Writings, page 298, line 25. The true consciousness is the true health, and the ability to know the difference between the false from the true. Listen as we explain how a mind that works on contrast and polarity is incapable of detecting unity and absolute wholeness. In this show, we will discuss the operation of the divine principle as the only fact of true existence found only in oneness. Welcome to the Voice of Yoga. We are talking consciousness. Join the Kriya Yoga spiritual advance to get the light in your soul and see life as it truly is, one perfect divine spirit. Swami, the title of today's show is A Fault Finder Can't Be a Fact Finder. Well, what do we mean by that title?
Yeah, I got this title because I was inspired by a lecture from Margaret Laird. She's a Christian Science practitioner and teacher. The inspiration came with an understanding. I find it very helpful to know how mortal mind works in order to know divine mind rightly. To help us understand the concept of fault versus fact, I have something here from Herb Fitch, Realization of Oneness 12b, and I'll read it. And so the human mind is capable of two observations. It can see the evil or the good on the material plane. Could a devil open the eyes of the blind? That sees the good, and the other side of the same mind sees the evil. The revelation then is that the human mind itself is a state of division into good and evil, good matter, bad matter, good conditions, bad conditions. But it can never see one. It always sees the opposites, the two. And so the master, the I of you, is revealing that your human mind is divided. It sees the good and the evil of the material world, but not further than that. It does not see the spiritual universe of the I. And so it is always struggling to change the bad to the good, because it believes the good is real and the bad is not. But I reveal unto you that there is no evil matter and no good matter. There is only I, invisible spirit, where you see good and evil matter. End of quote. When I heard that Margaret Laird lecture and she talked about the fault finder can't be a fact finder, it really starts to become clearer and clearer. The mind that we're using to get us through this lifetime can't bring forth the divine image. And what Herb told us here, that it is a splitter. It's a divided consciousness. It can't comprehend the absolute. It doesn't see without the contrast, without the separation from unity.
Well, I have a question about the very last line that you read. It said, there is only I, invisible spirit, where you see good and evil matter. So I guess my question is, if we are one, we wouldn't see good and evil. We would only see oneness.
Right. But the key to what he's saying here there is only I. The minute there is a you, which implies two-ness, then you're not in spiritual identity. In spiritual identity, we accept oneness, the I of one perfect divine being. And if there is a you, then you're in duality. And so all you can perceive is the good and evil, the polar opposites. And what he was really trying to tell us is that most of us are happy accepting the good. As long as we get more of the pleasures and profits of this human experience, we're happy. It's when we lose that, and then we start to scramble or struggle to get it back. And it's an ever-ending, never-ending struggle, because the key question here has always been, can the mind free itself from its own creation? What we're calling life is really this secondary mental material concept about the divine creation, the truth of being, the real. And this is what we would call in Kriya Yoga avidya, ignorance. We're mistaking the impermanent for the permanent. We're mistaking the false for the real. And as long as we continue to believe we are finite, mortal, with limitations, imperfect, then we continue to perpetuate this belief that is driven by these polar opposites, a belief in two powers, not one.
I'd like to talk about the question that Herb Fitch asks, and that question was, could a devil open the eyes of the blind? And of course, I was immediately brought back to that story in the Bible where Jesus is asked by one of the apostles about the blind man that they saw, and he was asked, whose sin created his blindness? So I wanted to ask you more about that. So Jesus, obviously, we would say was not the devil, and he was able to open the eyes of the blind. What are your thoughts about that?
Yeah, well, this is exactly what Herb is talking about, because the realization of oneness is a work where Herb Fitch goes through the entire book of John. And so when he's talking about, could a devil open the eyes of the blind, he's actually talking about that scene in the Bible. But he's also giving us a deeper meaning of what we should be looking for in the understanding of the scripture. Jesus came here to fulfill the law, because basically the Pharisees did not understand the law of Moses. They were working with the material forms and rituals and rules and regulations, but they didn't understand this idea of the spirit of the truth. Most of the message of the Christ was found in his deeds. The Christ, or truth in consciousness, reveals the divine creation. The message of the Christ is that the kingdom of heaven is at hand. It's right here. It's right now. What you're looking at is not the divine creation. It is this mental material recreation. And we had to be taught how to get beyond this corporeal sense testimony. And so things like meditation, what we say here, meditation by definition is the seventh stage of yoga. Well, the fifth stage of yoga is pratyahara. Mary Baker Eddy, in her discovery, tells us that we must live above corporeal sense and correct it. Spirit testifies with deeds, not words. Consciousness is experience. And if we continue to get all of our information from our five material senses, then we continue to outpicture this imperfect experience, this dualistic concept. But if we have the true consciousness, if we are conscious of the divine creation, then like Mary Baker Eddy says, true consciousness is the true health. And that's the true picture. we learn how to stop thinking with our five corporeal senses, and we start to learn how to activate our spiritual senses.
So maybe we should be thinking about that healing Jesus did with that blind man as he was glorifying the Father, but also in a symbolic way, we need to maybe not see with our visual eyes, but actually open up our senses to understand that what we're looking at isn't real. We need to be looking at what is real.
Yeah, and even in that particular story in the Bible where Jesus tells the man about the Pharisees, basically, when he says, even though they think they see, they're blind. Because with our material senses, we see what isn't there, but we are blind to what is here, the divine creation. Religion really doesn't give you that message. They are still working from this sense level of awareness. They try and change the words in the Bible a lot of times to accommodate this mortal perception, because we have made God this anthropomorphic figure. We have made God human. And the discovery of someone like Mary Baker Eddy is really telling us it's the human that is divine. We have it backwards. And that's one of the reasons why Paul in his teaching, he says, ye are dead and your life is hid with Christ in God. What we're calling life is not life. And what we're struggling to improve and preserve and protect and defend, Jesus was saying, resist not evil, put up your sword. Was he crazy or did he understand things differently?
So Herb is telling us a couple of times in that statement you read, he's telling us that our human mind is divided. What's interesting, because we are in a world of duality, what we experience. So how do you recommend we go from this divided mind into this state of one mind?
Yeah, that's what yoga is really all about. In order to do this with any kind of success, you're going to need a plan, a metaphysical or a mystical system, a spiritual science that's tried and true. And that's why I stay with Kriya Yoga. It's a path of action, a path of knowledge, a path of devotion. There are things we can and we must do. There are things we must know. Another thing that we work with, to know and not to do, is yet not to know. And you also have to have a sense of connectedness to the divine idea. You must start with a principle. Spirit is a law, and consciousness is the experience. So if we are not conscious of this divine truth, then of course, you're working with a human mental concept about this idea of God. And you find that the concept has no power. Spirit is the only self-existent power in the universe. And if you are unconscious to it, but you think you're spiritual, then what you find is that it doesn't demonstrate. That's why the workings of Mary Baker Eddy are so great, because she puts healing right on the table. She tells you if you cannot heal, you do not understand yourself spiritually. And with a litmus test, now you have a way of proving what I'm calling truth is the one true truth.
I'd like to get back to a phrase you had just said a few minutes ago, and you had said, true consciousness is the true health. So my question to you is, or one of them is, what do you mean by true health?
Well, as far as the paradigm is concerned here, because we all work with what we will call good health. But good health, perceived through the material senses, is dualistic. True health is what we perceive when we're looking through the divine mind, when we have gone above the testimony of our material senses, and we are now making our mind an avenue of awareness for the divine idea. In silence and in stillness, we let this divine mind reveal itself to us. That's the true consciousness.
We're going to pause right here to hear a word from our sponsor. Listeners, we'll be back with you in just a few moments.
Kriya Yoga Theory 1, Human Development and the 8 Essential Stages of Kriya Yoga. This program is a comprehensive course that will help you get your arms around the science of Kriya Yoga. It provides a clear understanding of the goals and objectives behind yoga, along with the physics of spirituality. It includes the practices, supportive concepts of Kriya Yoga, and the process in human development, apotheosis, the process of the human becoming divine. A complete guide on how to become a human in the adult state. Get the light in your soul and experience the simplicity and joy of union with the divine. This course is available in live classes at the ashram or online with 8 videos or 4 CDs. Visit our website, www.ipdtransform.com, for more information.
Welcome back. For those who are just joining us, you're listening to The Voice of Yoga, and we are talking consciousness. Swami, I'd like to talk more about this idea of divided consciousness.
Yeah, the difference between the false and the true. I always go back to that statement in the Bible about repent, which means think differently. So we stop thinking with the 5 material senses. And we start knowing with the soul. The 7 spiritual senses, or the chakras in Kriya Yoga, or the churches in Christian mysticism. When you read Revelations in the Bible and they talk about those 7 churches, church translates as Lord's house. House, translated in the Bible, means consciousness. So we're looking at divine consciousness. We're looking for that place in consciousness where human thought meets the divine idea, the Word of God. And we can't perceive that with our 5 material senses, so we cultivate spiritual sense, these thought windows, where divine truth begins to illuminate our thought, reveal itself, and reveal its creation. The human experience is only a thought. It's a mental image. But we learn that the more divinely mental, the more harmonious and indestructible it will appear.
You had mentioned earlier Pratyahara, and that's being one of the phases in development. Can you talk to us more about this process?
Yeah, the process in development requires ingenuity, intelligence, and stamina. These 3 phases in development must be understood and experienced in order to achieve spiritual glory. When you look at the Christian myth consisting of the crucifixion, resurrection, the ascension, you've got the crucifixion of the body, the resurrection of the Son, the ascension as the reunion of the Son with the Father. In order to surrender personal sense, one must master the physical forces. That is, to separate identity from the instincts, appetites, unconscious patterns, conditioned responses driven by fear and a belief in 2 powers. This is why we use a path of action, a path of knowledge, and a path of devotion, because creation isn't going to reveal itself. It's not going to reveal its secrets to an unworthy suitor. I have something here from Mary Baker Eddy, Science and Health with Key to the Scriptures, page 108 into 109, and I'll read it. Whence came to me this heavenly conviction? A conviction antagonistic to the testimony of the physical senses, According to St. Paul, it was, quote, the gift of the grace of God given unto me by the effectual working of his power, end of quote. It was the divine law of life and love unfolding to me the demonstrable fact that matter possesses neither sensation nor life, that human experiences show the falsity of all material things, and that immortal cravings, quote, the price of learning love, end of quote, establish the truism that the only sufferer is mortal mind, for the divine mind cannot suffer. My conclusions were reached by allowing the evidence of this revelation to multiply with mathematical certainty and the lesser demonstration to prove the greater. As the product of 3 multiplied by 3 equaling 9 proves conclusively that 3 times 3 duodecillions must be 9 duodecillions, not a fraction more, not a unit less. When apparently near the confines of mortal existence, standing already within the shadow of the death valley, I learn these truths in divine science, that all real being is in God, the divine mind, and that life, truth, and love are all powerful and ever-present, that the opposite of truth, called error, sin, sickness, disease, death, is the false testimony of false material sense of mind in matter, that this false sense evolves in belief, a subjective state of mortal mind, which this same so-called mind names matter, thereby shutting out the true sense of spirit. My discovery that erring, mortal, misnamed mind produces all the organism and action of the mortal body set my thoughts to work in new channels and led up to my demonstration of the proposition that mind is all and matter is naught as the leading factor in mind science. Christian science reveals incontrovertibly that mind is all in all, that the only realities are the divine mind and idea. This great fact is not, however, seen to be supported by sensible evidence until its divine principle is demonstrated by healing the sick and thus proved absolute and divine. This proof, once seen, no other conclusion can be reached. End of quote.
We have a soundbite here from Herb Fitch from his class Fourth Dimension, class 2A, and maybe now would be a good time to play it.
Yeah, if anybody's interested in the full audio file or the complete program, you can get this from mysticalprinciples.com, and I'll play it.
I am not born of Joseph. I am not born of Mary. I am born of spirit, and spirit being my father and your father, you are born of spirit. This is contrary to everything that you know as a person. And yet the way shower, the son of the living God, the son of spirit, is saying that I have overcome death because I am the son of spirit. And if you believe on me, if you believe that spirit is your father as I believe, then you too shall overcome death, and greater works shall ye do. Therefore, if you are born of spirit, you are spirit. For like begets like, and the Father's spirit begets the Son's spirit. And Jesus has overcome the grand illusion that man on earth in the flesh is the divine image and likeness of God. Genesis said that man was created in the divine image and likeness of the Father, and Jesus revealed that the Father is Spirit. and the divine image and likeness is spirit. He discovered the identity of God and of man. And so he, being spirit, was the son of the living spirit. Now when you come to that understanding that until you are the son of the living spirit, you are mortal flesh who cannot overcome death, who cannot overcome those fallibilities that lead to death, and cannot do the greater works that come after the overcoming of death, then you are beginning to unveil the nature of God in yourself. Spirit is God, and the Son of God is the Spirit of God flowing through the universe as God itself, individualizing as your being. And although you have read it, although you have heard it, although you have said it, unless you have quietly, firmly rested in the Word to listen, to know, to feel, and finally to reach that momentous conclusion that you are spirit and nothing else, you will continue to walk not in the footsteps of the way-shower, not in the truth, not in the light, not in the peace that passeth understanding, but in the ways of mortal mind, experiencing the good and the evil, the life and the death, the health and the bad health, fluctuations of human existence.
Yeah, the true consciousness is the true health, making the false consciousness the false health. Consciousness is experience. Divided is false, and united is true. Divided has two powers, and united has one power. To help us understand this living spirit of the divine principle, I have something else here from Herb Fitch 4D 2A. I'll read it. We want to find out how I, aware of myself as the Son of the living God, can overcome death and all the things that lead to death, and then even go beyond, for he did say, "And greater things shall ye do." That's the end of the quote.
So there's something that you had recited from Mary Baker Eddy, and she had said something like, "Mortal mind suffers, but not divine mind." And so to me, I think that's kind of this fact-finding mission that we need to be on, understanding what mind are we thinking from.
Yeah, exactly. This is what I think the gist of this entire program is focusing on. What am I conscious of? I always really enjoy what Mary Baker says, and I have something here from Science and Health with Key to the Scriptures, page 1412. I'll read it. "Become conscious for a single moment that life and intelligence are purely spiritual, neither in nor of matter, and the body will then utter no complaints." End of quote. Yeah, we really have to start to understand that truth in consciousness heals the sick, reforms sinner, raises the dead. The outer world of sense and the inner world of spirit become one when divine truth is the only consciousness. That truth is a demonstrable principle. And this truth dispels the error in the same way that light dispels darkness. Darkness is not an opposing power to light. It is the absence of light. This false sense of existence is not an opposing power to the divine truth. It is the absence of truth.
Well, it's that time to end our show for today, so listeners, be sure to visit the website www.ipdtransform.com. At the bottom of every page, there are plenty of buttons for you to choose from that you can click on to gather more information. There's also Swami Says recent posts, again, for more information and to further your development. Swami, any final thoughts about today's program?
Well, I would like to encourage people to join the Kriya Yoga Spiritual Advance, get the light in your soul, and see life as it truly is, one perfect divine spirit. Namaste.
Thank you for listening to our show, The Voice of Yoga. This is Lisa Winton along with Swami Jayananda signing off. Have a wonderful Kriya Yoga kind of day. Namaste.